right. Good morning, everyone. How we doing? Happy New Year a week later and all that good stuff. We're going to worship God today. Everybody stand on up. Welcome to Haven Community Church. As you can see, I'm not Wayne. Today, Wayne is away, and so you guys are the extra fill-in worship leaders. So let's worship God. Let's start with a prayer. Lord God, we come to you today, and we just want to thank you for bringing us through another week, a very cold week. And I thank you that from the time I left my house, that the temperature quadrupled from 1 to 4. And so, God, just bring your Holy Spirit here and warm our hearts, and let us just worship you. In Christ's name.
To everlasting, you are God. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. In holiness, you stand secure through cross. Shifting sands, unchanged by all the vanities of man. And as the nations rise and fall, your sovereignty remains. You are, you are, you are the one true God. Everlasting, you are God. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. In faithfulness, your love extends through times of turbulence. Adopting those who call upon your name. And every generation joins in songs of grateful praise. You are, you are, you are the one true God. Yeah. From everlasting everlasting, you are God. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God.
I want to see you.
Everlasting, you are God.
Last time,
everlasting, everlasting. You are God. You are God.
All right, let's hear it for God and Justin.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in a desert place, when I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name.
Every blessing.
Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say,
take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
Light of the world, you
step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Just think about these words.
And I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. And I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. And I'll never know how much it cost. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. And here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Everybody go.
And here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful.
One more time, everybody. It's really
and here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to
God, for moving in this place and moving in our hearts and for everything that you have to teach us today, God. We just want to receive that and want to apply it to our lives. And so as we start off this new year, God, just do something new in our lives and so that we can be strong for your kingdom. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So I'm going to ask today that everybody just kind of, you can kind of greet people around you. Everybody, even kids, stay put. We're going to do a baptism now. And just say hi to people around you. All right, that's enough. Calm down. Okay. Okay, here we go. What a great way to start off the new year. We get to start off with a baptism. We're going to have a couple of these in the next couple of weeks, which is always great. Debbie, you're going to come join me up here. Debbie DiVirgilio, our lay leader here, is going to help assist with this. I'm going to ask a couple people to come on up. I'm going to ask Mommy and Daddy, Jake and Kate, to bring little Leah up here. You guys can stand right here. What's up? She's like, he's going to get me. Right. So, brothers and sisters, through the sacrament of baptism, and what a sacrament is, it's a sacred moment. It's a special moment. It's a moment where God does something really cool. Now, Leah here just thinks she's going to get some water, but God's doing something much more important. And if you're come from a background where it's dedication, don't worry. Here we do rinse, cycle, and dry cleaning, so it's okay. All right, it's all about God. It's not about how we do it. So through the sacrament of baptism, we personally and together acknowledge the saving grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. The saving grace, which is called salvation, is God's free gift to us. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said it's a free gift, but it cost Christ his life, so it's not cheap. And it's offered to us without a price. How many like free deals? There you go. That's what the Christian faith is. So through baptism, we are identified with Christ and his holy church and incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation. The water symbolizes washing and cleansing, for in Christ we are made pure from sin. And the water serves as a sign, as was circumcision in the Old Testament, of entering into an old covenant. And all of us are glad that we weren't born in the old covenant at this age, right? Hallelujah. Through the sacrament of baptism, we are identified with Christ in his church. And we recognize that children are a gift from God. How many parents have teenagers? They are a gift from God, I promise you. All right? They are a gift from God. And the scripture says in Psalm 127, verse 3, that sons are a heritage from the Lord and children are a reward from him. As believers, we are called to recognize that children first and foremost belong to God. And God in his goodness gives children as gifts to their parents. They not only have the awesome responsibility of caring for this gift, but also the wonderful privilege of enjoying the gift. How many of you have ever enjoyed anything your kids or your grandkids have ever done? Right? Okay, so you definitely do that. So because children belong to God and are given by grace, which is undeserved favor, as gifts to parents, it's only proper that we go ahead, dedicate them, set them apart for dedication back to God. So, Debbie?
We are told in 1 Samuel 1 that Hannah presented her son Samuel to the Lord. In Luke 2:22, we read that Mary and Joseph brought their baby Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem to present him before the Lord. In the same way, Jake and Kate today bring their daughter, Leah Jean Allen, presenting first themselves and ultimately Leah before the Lord our God. We are here today to recognize as the body of Christ, Leah being brought by her parents to be baptized. As the family of God, we recognize God's love that is already at work in their lives. We pray for the day when Leah will mature and respond to the saving grace of God, accepting Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior, and pledging herself to a life of faithful discipleship.
So basically, if you're into theology, under some understanding, the reason why we dedicate or we in the christen or whatever else in certain denominations is basically because we're recognizing something called God's prevenient grace. It's a love that he has, and he always seeks us. Anybody have a time in your life where you weren't kind of with God and you were kind of running from God? Anybody have any of those Jonah moments? Anybody lying right now and you're afraid you're getting smote? Remind God. it's one of those things that God, no matter, just as, you know, I always say, like, if you invited me over to your house and I acted like a baby, if you fed me and I said, burp me, and you picked me up and burped me and I threw up all over you, and then you said, well, you're not feeling well, and I said, okay, and you put me in bed and I started crying, and you said, what's the matter? I said, I messed myself, change me. You are going to send me out the door really quickly, hopefully. But our babies do this all the time, and our kids do much, much more, but we love them because they're ours. And so God loves Leah because she is his. And he has given them to this great family and going to go ahead and saying they have a responsibility not only to give her mental nourishment, physical nourishment, there's other things, but also to give her spiritual nourishment. And so right now, bow with me for this prayer. Father, look now upon your church and unseal for us the fountain of baptism. God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, bless this gift of water. Bless Leah who receives it, so that through the sacrament of baptism, your Holy Spirit will protect and guide her in her journey with Christ. Amen. And so now, Jake and Kate, I got to ask you guys something. Here we go. You ready? As members of the covenant community of God, through your own confession of faith in Christ Jesus as your Lord, will you nurture Leah in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching, and here's the tough part, example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself and profess her faith openly and lead to a Christian life? If so, say, we will. Okay. Debbie?
All right. To the covenant community of faith, that's all of you gathered here, will you surround Leah before you with a community of love and forgiveness that she may grow in her trust of God?
Okay, I love in churches where we just say things and people say we will. You know, so I always like to tell people what you said. What they said is that they recognize that they have an awesome responsibility to raise this little girl in the church until she chooses for herself. That may be 17, 18, 19, 20, maybe 36 at the rate kids are going anymore. But they are responsible for her spiritual nourishment. You guys said, we're going to make sure that if they decide to do it here, which they're part of our church, that we are going to go ahead and contribute to make sure that's happening. That's why some of you sitting here teach Sunday school. That's why some of you do nursery. That's why some of you go ahead and participate in groups with them where families are part of. That's one of the things that we do, right? And that's what you said. You said, we will. We're going to make sure that we are able to do that. And we're going to do life together with them, okay? So how's that feel? You just made a big commitment today. Okay? So here we go. Let me see this girl. Come here. I know. I'm so pretty. All right. Leah Jean, right? Leah Jean Allen, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Ready? Here we go. Come here. Ready? Jesus, draw me close, closer, Lord, to you. Let the world around me fade away. Jesus, draw me close, closer, Lord, to you. For I desire to worship and obey. She keeps looking at my hair like saying, yeah, I got more hair than you. All right, come here. Let's go for a little walk. Ready? Let's go for a walk. There we go. Take a look. Everybody get a good look. She's like subdued. She's like, I got this thing. I'm all good. There you go. What do you think of this one? She's like, where are we going? I don't know where we're going. What do you think, Jeremy? Man, she was good. All right, here you go. Here you go, Mama. All right, so over here, we've got several things. Number one, you get to carry all the stuff, Dad. Here you go. And a flower for Mom. And then, if you want, here is this as well. All right? So, guys, let's welcome them back as we have her. I know you want to get a hold of her. All right, now this time our kids can go ahead and head on out to Sunday school or whatever we want to call it, Shoreline, whatever you want to call it. I do know today that there's not high school, right? But they are going to meet after church for 5 minutes. Larry, 5 minutes after church. So Janet wants to meet. Where do you want to meet, Janet? Right in the corner up here, high school class, so you won't have class today, but right after church, meet here for 5 minutes.
Okay, everyone, here we are, 2018. Yay. All right, so we want to pray. I do know that we have some of our youth down at the rally down there, and just like last year, they got tons and tons of snow down there in Ocean City. So continue to pray for them and the leaders and everyone else, all right? So otherwise, people who are here, welcome. If it's your first time here, welcome. We hope that you're having a great time and that you just relax and enjoy the service and what God has for you. Hopefully you received a visitor card. We're going to get that to you, and we have a small gift for you. If you didn't receive that, kind of just raise your hand. We'll make sure that you get it, or you can get one outside and take it over here, fill it out, and we're just thankful that you're here today. Today, in the back over here, there are year-end tax letters. Yes, we are getting ready to start some new taxes. Yay. So you have your year-end tax giving letters over there in this section. Please go ahead and pick those up if you would like to do so. New Sunday morning Bible study, not a fan. If you can look at that, it'll start January 21st at 8:30 in the morning, not in the evening. 8:30 in the morning right over here in our classroom. And so it's open to anyone. Study will be 6 weeks, and course material will be $10 to $12. So it'll be Sunday morning. So you can just get up a little bit early, enjoy, and come here. Haven's Women's Group. You can see there's a women's group, and there is an insert inside your bulletin that talks about uninvited, but you're invited to uninvited if you want to, if you're a female. And that will begin this Tuesday, January 9th at 6:30 right here at Haven. And you can read more information. If you need more information about that, you can contact Dana Webb, who's in the back running sound today, and Kate, who had the baby and didn't have the beard. Okay, so that's Kate. Yes. Okay, men's group is going to be at the same time, so it's a great opportunity. And I know often you have some childcare, right? Right? Okay, so right, I guess Miguel's doing that or somebody. So we'll have that. So you can see the information. So men and women's group at the same time, so it's a great place to come together, separate, learn, leave together, and talk about stuff. So it's a great opportunity, all right? So make sure that you do that as well. Let me see here. In addition, if you flip that over on the back, we have this insert that was in last week's, beginning February the 1st through the 14th, our church is embracing 14 days of prayer and fasting. If you missed last week's message, go ahead and check it out. It talks a little bit about that. We are going to talk more about those things. It has four different types of fasts that are there and that you're interesting, and that is a scriptural deal. And we want the main premise of that is to put God first in our year. We talked about putting God first in our year, our month, our week, and our days. And so we're going to start this year, February the 1st through the 14th, and it leads right up to what's February 14th? Valentine's Day, which is also Ash Wednesday. So if the reason why we did that is because we figured stop that day. Some people may want to continue that on throughout the season of Lent as well, or come up with something different. So be sure to check that out right there. In addition, you can tell it's New Year. We got lots of announcements. I love it. I'm going to talk about the mission trip in a bit. A quick meeting after church on this side, because they're on that side. Okay, so somewhere about the emergency rotating shelter. Joanne's right there, right? Joanne, so the good thing is it's on until March. Unfortunately, it was off for a while, and figures the year that we have more cold, but it really caused people to respond, and we're excited that the emergency rotating shelter is back on. So Joanne is going to meet with you. Joanne Edwards is going to meet with people up here, and they're going to discuss that. So that's a good thing when you think about how we were just complaining about getting into their car and thinking that there's some people who've been out in this weather all winter. So we want to lift that up. If you're interested, please stay after church for that. And then Paris Foundation, our next one that we are doing is February 18th, because I know the Union Hospital, nurses at Union Hospital are going to go ahead and take over Paris Foundation for this month. So that's good. Now, here we have something else here that I'm going to show to you. You see this picture with some really good-looking people on it, particularly a guy in a gray T-shirt and a hat. Looking like he gained a couple pounds there. That must have been day one. But you can see, Haiti mission trip. We have scheduled the time for our next mission trip to Haiti, which will be August 4th through August 10th, almost the same time that we did last year. You There is an application process and several other things that we have. So you can see that there is a link, havencc.mobi, and that is our application for the mission trip. If you're interested, you can go ahead and you select August 2018 trip, register yourself in the system, and follow the application process. And so there is an information meeting if you are interested about this mission trip, February the 6th after church. There's several frequently asked questions, and you can see there is a pre-trip meeting schedule that is there. And so you can see some key dates that are there. A lot of the stuff is going to be discussed at that February 6th meeting. That we are going to our sister church, which is Haven Community Church, Haiti. It is officially that now. They gave the plaque like we have that they gave to us. I saw a pic. He sent me a picture. They gave a picture to someone and said, thank you from Haven Community Church, Haiti. So it's really kind of fascinating. Just to let you know, in addition to this, we are working on some, I'm going to announce this, on some clarification stages where we are going to begin to sponsor 10 children as a start for food, school, transportation, everything. Really excited about it. And some of you who went on the trip will be glad to know that we have a guy named Jonas who's probably going to be involved with us on that. So we're really excited about that. So this a lot of stuff just happened this week. And Pastor Hoog is like on cloud 400 and just so thankful to God. And he's such a great man of God. And Jonas was one of our leaders who God really placed in our group's life, and I think he's going to be involved with us for a long time. So God is really awesome there. So I'm excited about that. Are you? I mean, it's great. And again, this is not just for people who go on the trip that are participating in this. This is our church-wide trip. Everybody goes on this trip, whether you're there or whether you're here. All right? So I just wanted to mention those things to you. So lots of stuff today. Next, here we go. Next, we have our prayer concerns, and we don't want to minimize our prayer concerns because prayer is our important battle against Satan and is our lifeline to God. And so as we look, we have several to lift up. Jen Legullo has asked for prayers for Nathan's Silpath and family. Nathan is 16 and losing his battle with cancer. He's expected that this will be his last week of life, and we're going to pray for God to intervene. Jim Wilcox has asked for prayers for her brother-in-law who had a massive heart attack this week. I'm going to lift him in prayers. It's God. I don't know who's calling me. Sorry, God, can't talk. All right, so. Yeah, it's Hava Nagila. I'll just go with it. All right. New phone. I couldn't shut it off. All right. So, as it might have been my dad. We want to lift up prayers for my father, Connie Cohen. Dad celebrated his 77th birthday the 3rd, but on the 2nd, he went into the hospital, and he's been there most of the week, and what they discovered is they think he has pneumonia, and he is going to be sent to rehab for a stent, so we want to lift him in your prayers, and also Mom in the midst of that situation. Wes Hewitt has asked for prayers for Paul Mulbang. Somebody really loves me. I don't know what this is. Can you shut this off? Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Just turn off the ringer on the side. All right. So Wes has asked for prayers for that. And Paul Mulbay is having neck surgery. So we want to lift him in your prayers as we look here. Man, these are it's a lot. I feel like I'm playing cards up here today. All right. Robin, prayers for those at the Ocean City youth conferences and their travel. Tina, for the Lockwood family and the loss of their son. And then I lifted that one up. We have some other ones, prayer requests that are online, came in online. Maddie Smith, who's battling emotional issues. Sonia Zapara is in the hospital with respiratory failure. Heather Music has requested prayer for her grandmother, Ida Reed, who had a heart attack and is in a coma on a respirator. And Debbie C. for healing from surgery. Jennifer Wilcox also lifted up her brother-in-law as well. Okay, do we have others to lift up on the prayer list? Yes. Okay, Sarah's going through the second chemo treatment. Yes, Dale. Yes, yeah. CL Carl Thomas passed, and we had his funeral. Prayers for Teresa Musall. It's her father. We had the funeral yesterday, the celebration of life, and so definitely be with them during this process as well. Also, many of you know Huck Gilbert. From the area, may know Huck. Huck is was a guy I played softball with, church fast pitch softball many years ago. Huck is 62 and is dying. He was diagnosed when he was 56 with Alzheimer's, so much too young. And please pray for him and his wife Merle in this process. Okay. Any others? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, as we come to you today, we recognize that there are so many needs in our world. We also know, God, that you are, that when everything else in life doesn't seem to make sense, that you're God and you make a way for us to love and care about all things. And so, God, during this time, we know that some are struggling, that sometimes the newness of the new year brings to it thoughts of a last year gone by, which may not have been so great, or maybe it was great, and now we're starting this year with like so many prayer requests and so many needs, and for a young 16-year-old that is fighting this battle, God, just be with him and his family, we just don't know where to turn all the time, but we know that you have the answers, Lord, and so we ask that your presence be with this family. And with so many others on our prayer concern list today, God, we take time to just focus on you and continue to worship you as we receive your tithe and our offerings. Just bring your blessings upon us, upon all the people that are in the youth rally, upon anybody who's in the sound of my voice. And God, make this be a year of just joy and of strength in you. And so, God, during this time, may what we collect here not stay here. May it go to the ends of the earth to further your kingdom here and around the world. May you bless the tither and the giver in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is the breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. And this is my daily bread.
My daily bread.
This is my daily bread.
My daily bread.
Your very word spoken to me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me. And I
it for you.
Good morning.
Our scripture today is from Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, New International Version. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Word of the Lord.
Good? All right. Make sure I turn this off in case God calls back. Don't want God interrupting our church service, do we? Yeah. So, all right. In case somebody knows it wasn't God. All right. Okay, good morning. All right, here we are. It's cold out there. Next week, 50 degrees. Welcome to Maryland in the wintertime. Here we go. All right, so we are in our week. Anybody want to guess what week number we're in? Two. Very good. Good. Week two of our series, Creature of Habit, and so basically, just to give you a quick update of what we went through last week, you can see right here that basically we're talking about that we're creatures of habit, and the statement that Will Durant had said that's been attributed to Aristotle and others. It said, we are what we repeatedly do. So if you really want to know what you are, look at what you spend a lot of time repeatedly doing. Okay? And so with a new year, we like new changes, right? A lot of us like to do those things. We want to get a mulligan. Anybody ever play golf? We like a mulligan, and we like to start over. And you know, basically what this statement is saying, and I gave the statement last week, is that we form habits, and then our habits form us. So when we get a habit, then that begins to mold and shape us. And usually around this time of year, we come up with New Year's resolutions. Now, last week I thought it was really interesting. I asked how many people did New Year's resolutions, and few lifted their hands. And I asked how many of you don't do it anymore because you don't make them anymore. And people, like a lot of people, raised their hands. But basically, New Year's resolutions are really hopes. We hope that things happen. And hope is good because what ends up happening is what I find out, and I shared this last week as well, that most people have high-level hopes and low-level habits. That we all have, you know, I was thinking about that old song, Just What Makes That Little Old Ant Think He Can Move a Rubber Tree Plant. Anybody know the rest? Anyone knows and move a rubber tree plant, but what's he got? High hopes, high hopes. Right, a lot of us enter the year and we have these high hopes of doing things, but about February we realize that rubber tree plant ain't moving anywhere and I'm not changing, okay? So hope is good because that is the initial starter, that is the motivator, but we need a strategy or a plan to get to make hope a reality. And so the cool thing is the Bible gives us habits that we need to have. Habits. And these habits are not easy. Good habits are never easy. You notice it's never hard to eat chocolate cake. It's never hard to eat ice cream. It's never hard to eat like that stuff. It is hard to eat rice cakes and call them good. It is difficult at times to go work out regularly and do those things, right? It doesn't just come naturally to many people. But what you see is, what I've learned is if anything is worth having in life, it is worth the uphill incline to get to it. It is worth what it takes to get there. To have a difference, we need to not have another hope, but we need to have a plan. And here's the cool thing. God is with us in these plans. And so our theme verse, you're going to see this a lot this week in different translations, comes from Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And this was in the Message version. And I want you to join me with that first part here, where it says right here. What's that first sentence? Everybody join me now, right? And aloud, not a quiet. Here we go. Ready? Fix your attention on God and you'll be changed from the inside out. Isn't that awesome? That tells us a couple things. That we have to focus on God, and that we are not going to be changed by an outward program, but by an inward commitment that affects the outside. That's how all change occurs in our lives. And so what does it say? You don't have to read the rest of this, but readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike, boys, this is a statement on culture. Unlike the culture around you, which is always doing what? Dragging you down to its level of immaturity. I could do a whole series on that. And God brings out the best of you by doing what? Developing well-formed maturity in you. And that is a definition of what we call in the church discipleship. God wants to disciple us and to mature us. And so part of that process that we shared last week, last week's habit was about first. What we do first, looking at what we do first. And we talked about, let's put God first in the year. Let's put God first in our month. Let's put God first in our week. God first in our day. And that's where I share with you that in February, we're really going to do that first of the year by going ahead and taking 14 days of prayer and fasting. And fasting is often giving up something that, not that we desperately need. Yes, we need food, but there's different ways there. You'll find out. Anybody been really hungry and you decide, you get kind of cranky and you realize there's some other stuff in your life that comes up when you're not that. It's a way to deny and focus on God. You don't just remove everything and just walk around. You remove it, but also focus on God during those times and have those areas. But we want to deny ourselves also of something that may not need to be there in the first place. And that's why we had our stuff fast listed there. So today, last week we talked about putting God first, and we had several different areas of that. Today, habit number two, are you ready for it? It's this. Habit number two is to control my thoughts. Control my thoughts. Not everybody likes those, do they? To control my thoughts. I didn't say it was going to be easy. You know, our thoughts are powerful. Our thoughts are very powerful. And I was just thinking this week as I look back and I look ahead that thoughts are so powerful. And when I look at any transition in my life, any point of contact or transition in my life, what ended up happening was I had to have a change of mind in order to achieve it. I want you to do that with me. Just kind of think back in your life. Anytime that you had some kind of shift in your life, the first thing that really needed to happen for that shift to occur was that you had a change in the way you thought about things. And you have to have a change of mind. You know, and then I started looking in my life. From a young age, I had people who would speak over me, like almost words of prophecy and certain things. And I'm like, I'm struggling with my own stuff. You know, you're a teenage kid and people say, you're going to be a pastor. And you're like, no, I'm not. Yeah. Jack, you're going to do it. No, I'm not. Okay. And so what really interesting, our parents gave us like these audio, like they were old recordings from audio tapes and reel to reel. And there's one of me in 1974. I would have been 3 years old. And my dad is on the microphone, and he says, "So here I have with me today Reverend Jack Cohen, who's going to give a sermon." And I did. It was pretty good. It was a lot quicker than I give now, but it was good. But it was like Jesus said, "Go to heaven," and I was beating up the devil. It was awesome. So theologically sound and awesome. But that was age 3. Okay, age 3, that's fun. Age 13, maybe you don't want that. But I still have people in my life speaking those words of me to me. And, you know, one of the interesting things is I want to share something with you. I got a D in my communications class in college. And I stand up here every week. I was all about sender, receiver. I got a D on that sucker because I never went to class. But I retook it and got a B, so DF repeat. Let's hear it for them. All right, so I did that. But what I'm saying is God had a plan for my life, and we're going to talk more about that today. And I had people that spoke that to me, and I had to change the way I thought because as a PK, I wanted to do anything else. That's a preacher's kid, anything else but be a pastor, okay? And God has brought his will when I changed my mind. Now, what I want to do is I want to share with you some of these things that we learn in the Bible about thinking. And so the first thing is this. I will never change my life until I change the way I think. Nothing ever changes until you think a different area. It's not the doing of life that changes the situation. It's the thinking that initiates everything. I don't just get up and go. I don't just find myself in the gym on a treadmill with earphones on going, "Ooh, how'd I get here? Wow." You know, I didn't just like sleepwalk into it. Anybody ever sleepwalk into a gym? No, no one ever sleepwalk into it. Anybody ever sleepwalk into eating healthy food? Like you made yourself a salad and ate it? No, if I sleepwalk, I'm eating donuts, right? Is anybody else with me? And so this is one of the things that we got to do. We got to think about those areas to change our habits. In Ecclesiastes, it says it this way, and I love this translation from the Message. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 says, "Wise thinking leads to right living." Good? And did you love this translation? "Stupid thinking leads to wrong living." Anybody ever had some wrong living in your life? Do you have some stupid thinking? Yeah, I mean, some of the dumbest, most fun things in my life I ever did were done because I had stupid thought process. Stupid thought process. And how many of you had those friends that they were really dumb with what they did and they were so fun to watch do stuff, okay? Some of you may be them and you don't want to raise your hand. So today what I want to do is I want to teach some principles, two things. Principles about thinking from the scripture. And then so that's the first section. And then the next section is going to be practical application. All right? Everybody good? Okay, here we go. So, biblical principles of thinking. Number one, according to the scripture, everything begins with a thought. Everything in the world that we know begins with a thought. Thinking is always the first thing. We were talking about last week, the first 15. Remember that? Some of us were talking about the first 15. And the first 15, take the first 15 minutes of your day. 5 minutes. Getting in the Word. 5 minutes, going ahead and praying. 5 minutes, worshiping. Okay? And it's really kind of cool that we have those kind of areas. And this week, I was really embracing it. And I tell you, it was really good. And there was a lot of craziness like around my life this week. A lot of craziness going around. But it was just interesting how that I was being very protective of that first 15. And we're going to talk some more about some of these areas. Like, how many of you wake up grumpy? Melissa wakes up grumpy every morning. Here I am. Think about it. That's funny. I'm grumpy. But some of us, how many of you seriously wake up and you're just kind of... How many are morning people? We hate you. Okay? How many are not morning people? All right, there we go. There's my non-morning people. But some people just wake up grumpy. How many of you, the first thing that you do in the morning is grab that phone and look at it? How many check out that social media? How many check out those emails? How many go ahead, how many turn on the news? You really want to get grumpy? Watch that sucker, right? There's something we were talking about last week, that there's a power in first, but we need to embrace about the first thing that we put in our minds. If the first thing that we put in our minds is chaos and frustration and anger and somebody doing this and somebody saying that and looking at our text messages and all this kind of stuff, or we look at our schedule as the first thing and we start to get panicky, then we are going to wake up grumpy. And that's why maybe we start the first day with those first 15 things about God and we're like, okay, then we can handle that other stuff when we get there. We can handle that other kind of stuff. So many times of us, I feel naked when I leave the house with this. I can't even do church anymore without people calling me on this thing, right? It's crazy that we're so bound to these things, and I'm equally as guilty. I want you to hear me with that. But if we just kind of shut some stuff off for 15 minutes to start our days, see how It changes. Because God wants to bring to us a new process of thinking, a brand new process of thinking in our lives. Because look at what it says here in Romans chapter 12, another translation from the New Living Translation. It says this: don't copy the customs and the behaviors of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. Let God transform you into a new person, as we see that. God transformed the person. So there's a transformation in you. And how does he transform you? Look at what it says. By changing the way you what? God has to change the way we think before we change into a new person. So many of us, and me for so many lives, are like, oh, I do. I come. I accept Jesus into my heart. Okay, that's what you do. But guess what? I am not going to be different unless I change the way I think. If you have stinking thinking, your life is going to continue in the same pattern that you've always had. So that's number one. Number two, how we think determines how we feel. How we feel. How we think determines how we feel. Think about this. There may be some of us here who blame everybody else in the world for the way that we feel. And you may have some value in that. I don't want to minimize what you've been through. You may blame your boss, your ex, your children, your parents, your the person ahead of you in the grocery store. You may blame a lot of people, but it's not them. I'm going to tell you, it's not them. Look at the person next to you and say, it's not them. It ain't me. You know what it is? You do not have a choice what happens to you and what people do to you. What you do have a choice to do is how to react to it. And the power that you give it. You know how many people walk through this earth day in and day out that give people more power than they deserve on your lives? More people have more power over your life that have nothing to do with it. You see, we all live in the same world, don't we? It's a little bit weird in some places, a little bit more unusual in some places, but we deal with the same stuff, and we have no choice of saying, unless we want to go ahead and be those doomsday preppers and live underground and hang out there. But then we would get on each other's nerves after a while. Am I right? And so, but the choice that we do have is the choice about what they do to us and what happens to us and how am I going to let it control how I feel. Some of you I am envious of because people will say the worst thing to you and it just rolls off you like rainwater. Like you just like, nothing. You people are awesome. Other people, you take it to your heart, and I take it to my heart, and it sits there, and you don't know what to do with it, and you wonder what's wrong with you. I mean, in those boats as well. But ultimately, the way we feel is not about what others do. It's about how I process it and what I deal with it. And so we all live in the same world, and we all have the same distraction. And I was just thinking just the other day and looking at some of the distractions and what people say, social media and this and that, and I started thinking, how many days, I said to myself, Jack, how many days could you go without media? Jack, how many days could you possibly go without a phone, without a Facebook, a Snapchat, without a television, without a radio? How many days could you go with that? And I did not like my answer. It was about 3 minutes. Could you go 1 week? Could you go 1 month? Could you go 1 day? Could you go 1 minute? But what if you took that and replaced it with worship of God? What if I compared my media consumption to my God consumption, which fails in comparison? And I tell you, I was left wanting in my own life. And it's a test. It's a test for this verse of Scripture in Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 through 9. Look at this. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, this is the verse that was read to us, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, what are you supposed to do about that? Think about such things. Does that sum up your television? Go back there. Does that sum up your television watching? Does that sum up your social media looking? Does that look at your text or your emails that you get this week? No, not at all. Not mine. If you did, I want the people who send stuff to you. And then when you think about these things, what happens? Next. Think. And the God of peace will be with you. If you need peace in your life, maybe you just need to take a break from some of the stuff that we think is so valuable to us in life. One of the things that I was talking with Wayne a little bit last night, and one of the things I asked him to do during this 14 days of prayer and fasting is, he's done it before, it's either going to be Pandora or Spotify or something like that, but he's going to put together a playlist of worship songs that we play regularly, and we're going to put it out for people to listen to. If you don't know what Pandora or Spotify is, ask somebody under 40. They'll tell you, or maybe 30 or maybe 20. But it's a streaming software, and then you can just have that. So if you're trying to replace some of that stuff in your life, then maybe you can just put on worship music that you're used to and connect to God in that. So he's going to do that for us. And I'd love for you to take, he did that once before, and it kind of went, So I'm going to go ahead. He's willing to do that. And I'd love for you to go ahead and connect in that worship list just throughout your time, even if it's a song or two, just to start off. Okay, the next one, number three. Our thoughts determine our destiny. Our destiny. Where we are going. Some of you may have seen this quote. It's been attributed to Ralph Waldo Emerson and several other people, if you'll just look. But look at what it says here. It's not in your notes. Sow a thought and you reap an action. Sow an act and you reap a habit. Sow a habit and you reap a character. Sow a character and you reap a destiny. You notice that the connection there is between a thought and a destiny. It begins with a thought and ends with your destiny. In other words, you are here today because of the thoughts that you've had throughout your life. You will be where you are tomorrow because of the thoughts that you're having today. Thoughts are powerful. That's why it says in Romans chapter 8, look at what it says here. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. So in other words, if you're kind of messing it up in your life, you're just concerned with those thoughts. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So, let's look at this. So, letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to what? Death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. If you need life and peace in your life, allow the Holy Spirit to control your thoughts. Okay, so that's the three there. Everybody good still? All right, so I'm going to give you five. Really quickly, I'm going to give you some five things on how we can master the habit. Because habits, you got to work through them. You got to embrace them. You got to get your mind around it. So we've got to go ahead and do that. So the first thing, I want to share this verse from 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And actually, you can look at 3 and 5, but verse 5 is printed in your bulletin. And it talks about to overcome the strongholds in your life, you have to do this. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And I love this verse. And we take captive every what? Every thought. We take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. All right, so number one, here we go. This is how we're going to do it. This is the application part. If you need to know what to do, get ready, get your pen out. Here we go. Number one. I need to find a plan to control my thoughts. I need to, if we feed bad thinking, then we're going to have more of that. So we need to feed good stuff. So how do we do that? Several things. We need to, and here's what I'm going to say, and this is kind of like a mantra, but this is, last week was an introductory, today we're really getting into it. We need to read the Bible. Everybody say read. Read. Everybody say read. Read. Okay. Read the Bible. We need to get God's word into us, even if it's 5 minutes a day. One of the things that I found out, there was a survey that was done April 25th, 2017, and it asked people, Americans, how much of the Bible have you read personally? 30% read several passages and stories. 10% read absolutely none of it. 13 said only a few sentences. And then there was others smattered in there that said they read portions or half of it. What we found out, even from Christians, is that many Christians believe in the Bible, but very few actually read it. And so what we need to do, we need to embrace connecting to the Word of God. As we look in the Scripture, it tells us that we are in a warfare, that we need to put on the full armor of God. And when we pull on the full armor of God, we've got a helmet that protects our thoughts. We need that. We've got a belt, a truth to keep our pants up and all that kind of good stuff. And we only have one weapon. Anybody know what it is? Sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, our only weapon. And Jesus displayed it perfectly when he was being tempted. Every time Satan tempted him with a word from God, because Satan knows the word of God really well, Jesus responded with a correct translation of it. If Satan knows the word of God and we don't, and he says something to us, I'll tell you what happened. It's two people called Adam and Eve, where he approaches them and says, did God really say? Wait a second. Did God really say? And he's doing the same thing that he's done from the beginning, and we believe it because we don't know the word of God. We don't know it. We have more access to it than any time in history. We can pull it up on our phones. We can pull it up on our computers. We can be old school and carry around a 20-pound Bible with us. We can get one of them big pulpit Bibles that make us feel really good. But we can get it any single way we want to. And yet, what we are seeing, the more accessible it is in the areas of the world, the more accessible it is, the less read it really is. We've got more plans in a little bit. I had a great time. I found this plan for men, and I emailed it out to several men. You can do a study together with people. It's awesome. And you can do it because we live in a great time. There are places in the world where people, if you gave them this Bible right here, the first thing they would do is rip it apart. And they would take parts of it home to their own houses. They would read and memorize it and then bring it back and pass it to somebody else because they have such a hunger for the word of God that we don't have to this day, that we need to recapture and have once again. So we need to read the Bible because what we feed lives, what we starve dies. And so often in our life, we feed the things that grow and become the creatures in our lives rather than feed, and we starve the word of God. We've got to reverse that in our lives more and more. The Bible is amazing. It is the living word of God. It is the only book that I know that you can, or conglomeration of books that you sit down and the author is right there with you, reading it with you and revealing something new and new. Hebrews chapter 4 tells us this, for the word of God is living and active. It is sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates even dividing the soul and the spirit, joints and marrow. It judges, what does it judge? The thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. If you want to know what's going on in your life, you open that scripture. Anybody ever read a verse of scripture where you acted some way that was acceptable in the world, and then you open up the scripture and God said, uh-uh. And you're like, but God, and he's like, I'm not, no gray area here. Here it is. All right, you with me? And so we embrace the word of God because it's great. If you have time, like I said, we put every day on our website and on our Facebook page the one-year Bible. It has a devotion. It's got a psalm, a proverb, an Old Testament, a New Testament. If you don't have time for the psalm, read the proverb. The proverb's one sentence. If you can't do that, you need to really check your schedule if you can't read one sentence. Maybe you want to read the Old Testament. Maybe you want a New Testament. And don't do it as a legalistic, whew, I got that done. Now I can start today. Read it to just hear the living word of God speak to you. So what I can say is read the word of God. Just read the Bible. Read the Bible. All I got to say here is read the Bible. Everybody, guess what? Number one is read the Bible. There we go. Number two, find a place to think my thoughts. You ever feel like some days that there's just so much noise that you have no time to think? You have no time to think at all. You don't know where things are. Everyone needs a place in the day, and I'm going to say a place for you to put focus on God. And what I'm talking about here is prayer. And the scripture talks about a prayer closet, a place where you go and just are you and God. Jesus, we hear from God, be still and know I'm God. You need a place where you can just still at life. And what I'm saying here is have a regular time with God, a regular time with God, a daily regular time with God. And you know, I know so many people, and I'm going to tell you this, we have, as Church Universal, we have done a bad job of prayer. We've done a bad job of telling people that you have to pray certain ways. We've made people afraid of praying. Like, just ask me. I'll shut my eyes here. How many of you, if I said, come up here and pray us out of here today, you would be really freaked out? I'm not going to look. Is that you? Raise your hand. Okay. All right. So, now, and I'm going to tell you, that's exactly what Satan wants. How many of you, I said, that if I walked over to you, that you would be afraid of having a conversation with me? That's all God wants. That's all God wants. No, you wouldn't. You can come up and hug me. That's all God wants. God just wants to talk with you. He just wants to talk to you. And you know, I've had conversations with people who've gone on 15 minutes about why they can't pray for five. I'm like, you're doing a good job of blabbing right now. Why don't you just use that for God, right? Just talk to him. How many of you, when you call your dad or your parents on the phone, you pick up the phone, you're really nervous, like, great person that helped give birth to me. I just want to thank thou for, you know, all that money that you gave me back then. And, God doesn't care about that crap. That's all flowery. That's all extra stuff. He just wants to say, if you got 5 minutes, God, hey, you know my schedule today? It's insane. I need you in this, and you're my daddy, and I love you, and I just don't know what else to say. But right now, I'm going to talk for a little bit, and I'm going to listen for a little bit more, and we're going to make this day happen somehow. And here I am in the mess that I am, and I need you. I need you to help me make it through this world. Does that seem easy enough? We need to pray. We need to take time for God. God would love that 1, 2, 3, 5 minutes with you than rather none at all. How successful are relationships that we don't talk with people anymore? I shared with you before in kindergarten, my best friends, two best friends, Demetrius Jenkins and Chip Custis. We were like this. I wouldn't know if I fell over him today. You know why? I haven't talked to him since I was 5, and that was like 20 years ago. Give or take, all right? Why? Because I have not talked to them. My best friend growing up, Paul, I'll know him when I hear his voice, when he calls me on the phone, because we talk all the time. I'll also know because it plays the Eagles fight song, hallelujah, all right? But I know his voice and he knows mine because we spend time together. How can I possibly hear God's voice if I don't listen to him, if I don't talk to him, all right? We need that daily time with God. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep in perfect peace all you who trust, all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed in you. In other words, prayer is a time when we can go and say, here you go, God, there's my stuff. Help me, Daddy, help me make it happen. And in Colossians, it says this, and think about things of heaven, not the things of earth. Add up the time that you spend during the week thinking about things of heaven and the things of God compared to the things that we spend on down here. We're going to spend eternity. You know, here's how I look at it. You ever, like, get ready and go on a vacation? How many, like, have a vacation planned, and the closer, like, you plan it, and you're, like, looking at brochures, and you're looking online, and then you're looking at TripAdvisor, see what other people say, and the closer you get, the more you're thinking about that. You're sitting at work, you ain't paying one bit of attention to work. You're thinking of that vacation. Anybody there? That's how our minds should be about heaven. That's where we're going to spend eternity. Let's think about that more so, okay? Number 3, find people to stretch my thoughts. Find people to stretch my thoughts. The scripture tells us that when we have sin, we confess it to God. But if we really want to heal from that sin, we confess to each other so that we can be prayed for each other and we can be built up. James 5:6 says, confess your faults and pray for each other if you want to know that. So what do we need to do here? We need to do life together. Everybody say, do life together. This is the importance of the small groups. We have men's and women's that are just starting this week. We have other ones that go on during the week. We have special ones that are going to kick on in Lent or right after Easter. We do these as a reason. We do two church-wide studies every year. And the reason is to get everybody connected to each other because you cannot do life on your own. Jesus never sent anybody out on his own. You need each other. We need each other. We need each other to be mentors. How many of you have ever been part of a small group ministry? Has it been valuable? How many of you have ever had a mentor in your life that you met with regularly? It's no mistake that NA and R and AA and those have people who are sponsors that meet with them regularly that help them through the struggles in life. It's no mistake that we in our world, that me in my world as a young pastor, had great mentors that that helped me throughout the line and that I can be that for others. It's no mistake that I have somebody I talk to regularly in order to share those things that I need. It's no mistake that we need to have accountability and recapture accountability in our church and in our world. The goal is to have relationships with Christian people, not negative people. How many of you have ever had people in your life that are negative? How many love to hear negative people? Negative people. We have so many negative people, so many naysayers that bring you down. We need to get involved in groups. We need to get involved with each other. Hebrews 10 tells us this. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and to good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together. Or in some translations it says, and let us not give up the habit of meeting together, as some are doing, but encourage one another. How many of you have a group where you need encouragement, you know exactly who to go to? You need that. If you don't have it and you don't know of it, you need those people to encourage you, to encourage one another. We need that place, especially now that the day of his return is near. Number four. Got a couple more. We're rolling right through this. Number four. Find a purpose to drive my thoughts. Find a purpose to drive my thoughts. The best thought and the best question in life that's been asked from the very beginning is, why am I on earth? And the best answer is if you know exactly why you're here. If you can answer the question, I know I'm here because, then you are on the track to a fulfilled life. Miserable people feel like they have no purpose. Miserable people have not discovered who God has called them to be. And that's why I want to tell you another thing that we offer that is a great thing to do is discover your spiritual gifts. God has gifted each of us with not only talents, but spiritual gifts, and they are for building up the body of Christ and for the world to meet the needs of ministry. And several of us, if we never ever figure out the plan that God has for our lives, we're missing out on this thing called life. The goal for our lives is to discover the purpose that God has brought us here. In Romans chapter 12, here we go again, verse 2, another translation. You're going to know this verse. It says, do not conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your what? Mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's what? Will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. God has a good and pleasing and perfect will for your life if you're willing to not conform to the pattern of this, but you're willing to go ahead and create habits in the renewing of your mind so you can find it out. Is that cool to anybody? I mean, wouldn't it be awesome to know that that God took you and created you fearfully and wonderfully, that brought you here for this time and this purpose to do something great for him? That's why you're here. Number five, and we'll end with this one. In order to do all this stuff, I need to find a power to ignite my thoughts. I need to find a power to ignite my thoughts. Here's something that's really cool. When God speaks to you, he is going to give you a plan that is too great for you. God is going to call you to do something that you're not equipped for, that you don't have the skills for. God is going to call you to, you're not going to have the finances for, and God's going to say, good, now you got to depend on me. It's genius what God does. He says, here's what you got. And he gives you a passion for it and say, oh my gosh, that's what I really want to do. And then you start looking and say, but I can't afford it. And I've got this and I've got that. And I don't know how I'm going to make it if I do this. And if I do that, then I won't have. And God says, God, I really want to do it. And he says, then trust in me because I can make it all happen. It's in him. He's the one that has the passion. And I can tell you that this church is going to celebrate we're going to have a celebration in March. But on January the 18th of this year, we celebrate 10 years of ministry. 10 years of ministry. And I'm going to tell you, that has absolutely nothing to do with me and everything to do with God. Because if you look statistically, there are people who are more skilled. There are people who have more finances. There are people who have more talents, just a few of them. But there's a couple people who have more talents and are more versed and all kinds of other things, more dynamic, that started churches that died within the first 4 years, where 80% of new church plants do. Why is this here? Because this is one of the things that God has called me to in my life. And I could not do it without God and his power, the Holy Spirit, and all of you. This is your church. I've had people come up to me and say, your church, I said, not mine, it's yours. It's his. And whether you like it or not, this is what God has brought here in this area. Do you realize that if we look back over 10 years, there are kids that aren't adopted into families? Do you realize that there are hungry that aren't fed? Do you realize there are people who are not over addiction? Do you realize there's not a halfway house down in Northeast Maryland? Do you realize there's not a church in Haiti that is not only living and thriving, but is also sending missionaries to other areas of Haiti? Do you realize that? That ain't Jack, because Jack doesn't have the skills to do it. Don't tell anybody, right? But it's not by my might, not by my power, but by His Spirit. Because the power that we're talking about here is the power of the Holy Spirit. In order to succeed, I must open up to the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 55:9 says, "My ways are not your ways. So are my thoughts, not your thoughts." In other words, God says, you think you got it figured out? I came into this church plant. I had gone to studies. I had searched Rick Warren. I had looked at Bill Hybels. I had them all down. I had them all ready. And I came in here, and about month one, I had no clue what I was doing. And God made a way. Because you know what? My ways are not His ways. My thoughts are not His thoughts. They are higher than I can even imagine what God wants to do. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now all glory to God, who is able through His mighty power at work," where is it? "Within us to accomplish," here we go, "infinitely more than we might ask or think." See, God is able through His mighty power to accomplish infinitely more. I love the King James here, to do exceedingly abundantly more. Exceedingly and abundantly more. I just want to challenge you to do something I came across. Craig Groeschel, who's been a kind of mentor pastor to many people, many people he's never met. He did a sermon several years ago, and it dealt with the power of personal declarations. And he put down examples of words to live by. And the worship team can come up and get set as I finish this up today. But I want you to just listen to this. I know you got your last blank filled in, but I want you to just listen to this. Here's his personal daily declaration, and I'm going to begin to do my own. He says, he wrote this down. He said, "Jesus is my life. I exist to serve and glorify Him. I love my wife, and I'll lay down my life to serve her. My children will love God and serve God with their whole heart. I will nurture, equip, train, and empower them to do more for the kingdom than they can imagine. I love people, and I believe the best about others. I am disciplined. Christ in me is stronger than the wrong desires in me. I am growing closer to Jesus every day. Because of Christ, my family is closer. My body is stronger. My faith is deeper. My leadership is sharper. I am anointed. I am empowered. I am equipped, and I am called to reach people far from God. I am creative, innovative, driven, focused, and blessed beyond measure because the Holy Spirit dwells within me. I develop leaders. That's not something I do, that's who I am. My thoughts, my words, my thoughts, my imaginations are under the power of Christ. I take my all thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ. I wake up with purpose, direction, and meaning every day of my life. Pain is my friend. I rejoice in suffering because Christ suffer for me. I bring my best and then some. It's what I bring after I do my best that makes the difference. The world will be different and better because I serve Jesus today. If you start your day with that declaration about who you are, that is a mind change. That is a thought process change. And by doing so, trust me, you will know who God is in your life and you will find His purpose. Amen? All right, everybody, let's stand up. And let me get situated again. This is a newer song, but an older song. You'll understand what I meant. Let's just worship the Lord in all this. God, as you come to us today, Lord,
just speak your word to us and just let us know that, you know, we just want to start this year off right. We just want to give you the first of our lives, and we want to have a change of mind and take all those thoughts captive in order to seek you. So God, during this time, as the altar is open with our Stephen ministers, just minister your heart to us and just let us know that with the so many, all the prayer concerns and so many others that we have, that God, you're in control and we're going to trust in you. Speak to us during this time, Lord, and just help us to just grow closer to you and find out what we're here for. In Christ's name. Amen.
Grander earth has quaked before, moved by the sound of his voice. Seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken for my regard. Through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well with me.
Far be it from me to not believe, even when my eyes can't see, and this mountain that's in front of me will be thrown into the midst of the sea.
Through it all, my eyes are on you. And through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you. And it is well, it is well. Still know his name. So let go my soul and trust in him. The waves and wind still know his name. So let go my soul and trust in him. The waves and wind still know his name. Waves and wind still know his name. It is well with my soul. It is well.
Well, with
His will. Through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well with me.
Everybody, I want you to have an awesome, well, awesome, there we go, awesome week in Jesus, and recognize no matter what you're going through, it is well. That was written by Horatio Spofford a long, long time ago when his family was in a boat and they had gone down, and he lost them, and he went back out to that spot. As he went to that spot where he lost his kids and his wife, he began to pen the words, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." There's a lot of stuff out here. Don't let it control you. Don't let it control the plan that God has for your life. Just say, it is well. Amen. Have a great week in Jesus. Say hi to somebody.